All right, Jim, so let's touch on what happened in the NFL yesterday. Some interesting results, starting with the Lions losing to the Chiefs last night, 30-17. Then a little bit of a fight broke out at the end. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think two really good teams. And, of course, the Lions, you know, really got it taken to them. But it was, you know, a sunny night in Kansas City. Very proud team, championship-caliber team that's starting to get healthy and starting to figure out how to play. You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, these announcers, they go in a couple of days early and they have a production day the day before the game where they have interviews with everybody. And, you know, this is not like beat writers trying to get information. It's they're all in the same group. You know, they're all buddies. They're former players. They're people who make a lot of money off the NFL. So they tend to, you know, sometimes they get spun in the wrong direction. Sometimes it's just PR, but I thought it was interesting that Collins was saying in the production meetings that the Chiefs feel better about their team this year, you know, 2-3 going into last night's game than they did last year when they kept on winning close games by some magical, you know, methodology that just didn't seem sustainable. And, of course, they got to the Super Bowl, but they did not have a Super Bowl caliber team. We saw that in the Super Bowl. They are starting to put it together. Pacheco's starting to run with authority. They're going to get Rashee Rice back soon, their best receiver. Hollywood Brown and Worthy are starting to make some plays. Kelce starting to look like his old self. The defense is starting to play better. The Chiefs are going to be dangerous. The Lions did not play particularly well last night, but they're really good. That's a really good team. If they can just avoid injuries like they did last year, they're going to be right there. So I thought that was a great game and a really interesting game between two really good teams. Other than that, we saw the Packers have trouble putting away a bad Bengals team. Packers have not looked great since week one. Micah Parsons is just not making many plays. Their number one receiver, they got Matthew Golden, starting to make plays, which probably bodes well for their offense. But the defense has just not been special. Let's see who else. We got the Bears going tonight. That's the other division team. I don't know. I don't know if any other games really jumped out at me that much.
Jim, so it sounds like J.J. McCarthy did some things last week, but at least the report I saw said that he wasn't 100%. Any thoughts on McCarthy?
Yeah, O'Connell's going to talk this afternoon, and maybe we'll get some more hints. He was always supposed to do – McCarthy was supposed to do some work this week all along. That doesn't mean he's going to be ready, you know? And I think where we're headed with this, my early guess is that instead of putting McCarthy in – on Sunday against a very physical defense when he's probably not going to be 100% and then having to fly to LA and play on Thursday. My guess is they defer another week, let Wentz go out there and try to win a game this Sunday, knowing that McCarthy could play Thursday or he could have a 2-week break before he really has to go out and play. I mean, that just seems to be the logical thing, not because they're trying not to play McCarthy, just because high ankle sprains take a long time to heal. And, you know, if you're going to put a quarterback out there who's a little banged up, you'd rather be your backup.
Jim, the Gopher football team was able to escape with a win against Purdue on Saturday, 27-20. Your thoughts on that win?
Not a good game. They did not. They were going up against a bad defense. They did not throw the ball well. Lindsey didn't look particularly comfortable. They were just not efficient. And their defense let Purdue go up and down the field. And really, it took Coy Parrish with kind of a very difficult play. Basically, you know, I mean, he caught that pass, you know, at high velocity without much time to react, and he catches it and returns for a touchdown. He has not had a great season today, but that was a great play, and that was a game-winning play. So he kind of saved the bacon for this week. That team has a lot of improving to do if they want to be anything this year.
What do you think the biggest struggle is? They're not running the ball nearly as well as they have in years past.
They are not. And Darius Taylor just hasn't really gotten it going. None of their backs have really gotten it going. I guess the offensive line just doesn't look as dominant. It's usually – Gopher offensive lines are usually pretty good. This one looks like it's still trying to figure things out. And Lindsey has been, you know, up and down, as you would expect a freshman to be. I still like his talent, but, you know, he's not probably not ready to carry the franchise right now. You know, they have decent receivers. They don't have great receivers. The fact that Parrish has not really fit in as a high volume receiver is probably, you know, slowed down the offense as well. So the offense just is not particularly good. The defense has not been great. They just, listen, we've seen Gopher teams figure it out halfway through the year before. they're going to have to do that this year. You know, now they got a good Nebraska team coming in, and that'll be a much more of a test.
What do you think about Penn State firing their coach?
I mean, for a while, the knock on Franklin was he could put together a good team, but he couldn't win the big game. And when you're paying coaches this much, when the expectations are this high, when you have veteran quality quarterbacks and talent, you know, eventually if you're Penn State, you're going to want to win a big one. Well, they've gone from not winning big ones to losing little ones. They're losing games they absolutely should not be losing. So should he have been fired? Probably. Is it absolutely ridiculous that they're paying tens of million dollars in buyouts to these coaches to get them out of their – I mean, it's really a disgusting thing for anybody who has to work for a living that people, you know, whether it's CEOs or college football coaches, they make more money when they get fired than anybody else does over the course of their lifetime. It's disgusting. This is college. They should be putting money toward, you know, educating students and lowering student costs instead of paying however $60 million or whatever just to get a guy out of town. It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Jim, how about the Minnesota Wild? They lost to Columbus on Saturday after beating St. Louis last Thursday. Yeah, I know it's a long season, but any takeaways from the first two games?
I mean, they looked great in the first game. They looked terrible in the second game. You know, maybe the fact that it was a back-to-back and they just don't have their legs yet. You know, maybe they just didn't have the energy in game two. That's the only thing I can think of other than just not, you know. I mean, if you told me they were going to split the first two games before the season started, I'd say, okay, that sounds about right. It's just that the way it happened was a little dramatic. They were fantastic in game one. They were terrible in game two.
Timberwolves still playing preseason games. They got Chicago Thursday. They're playing. I don't even know who this team is that they're playing tonight. Any thoughts on the Wolves in the preseason?
I believe it's a Chinese team they're playing tonight. I mean, it's preseason. Very little of import happens. The only thing I would say is that Dillingham continues to be up and down, and he's really the big variable here. I think we know what the rotation is. We know who the next wave of subs is right after the rotation. Dillingham's the mystery. He could be, somebody who elevates the franchise. He could be somebody who causes the franchise to look elsewhere for point guard help. We just don't know what he is yet.
Is he for sure part of the rotation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going to play. We just don't know how much or in what role or how well.
Is Dante DiVincenzo going to play his same role this next year?
Probably. You know, doing the John Krasinski show with John, we had speculated before preseason started that maybe DiVincenzo would be a fallback at point guard. They're not using him that way. They're using him in his traditional come off the bench as a wing, defender, three-point shooter. He's going to play pretty much exactly the same role. And if he plays the way he played down the stretch last year, he will be a big positive.
Jim, baseball playoffs yesterday, the ALCS started. Good game. Mariners beat the Blue Jays 3-1. They're going to play game two today. And then the NLCS starts tonight, Dodgers-Brewers. Any thoughts on the two series?
Well, how about Jorge Polanco? Gets the game-winning series hit, walk-off hit in the ALDS. Then gets the game-winning hit in game one of the ALCS. And I'm happy for him. He was always just a low-key, nice guy who would play through any injury. At a time when the Twins were always resting everybody, pre-resting everybody, trying to keep people healthy, Polanco would go a veteran on a busted ankle and just play without complaint. He just always wanted to be in the lineup. You know, he was not one of their highest-ranked recruits or prospects coming out of the minors, but he probably had the best offensive approach of kind of a whole wave of hitters. He just level swing, takes good at bats, can hit for power. And this is kind of a renaissance year for him. This is probably his best year since 2023. He hit for power. He had a high OPS, and he was a big part of that team winning.
Jim, any thoughts on the two Monday night games tonight? You got the Bills versus the Falcons, Bears and Commanders.
Bears, Commanders, listen, the Bears are still kind of a fascinating team. We still don't know what Caleb Williams is. I mean, I've never been that high on Caleb Williams, but he's still going to get every opportunity to win that job and keep that job and be a franchise quarterback. We'll get to see what the Bears, you know, just how well he can play against a good defense. And then you have, I think Bills Falcons is a fascinating game. The Bills coming off a loss, we still think that they're one of the best teams in the NFL. They should be rested, and then they're going up against, or I'm sorry, not rested, but they're going up against a Falcons team that has all kinds of talent, still kind of trying to figure it out. So I think the Bills-Falcons game could be highly entertaining. I think the Bears game is just another step in watching Caleb Williams, see if he's progressing or not.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Full Sleeves Up, a good Chim Music with Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal talking about the Twins manager search and all kinds of things baseball related, including some, I mean, it's a fascinating time of the year for a baseball fan. And we've done Mitchell's interview show up, and we'll start the cycle again tomorrow. And everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.